Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode.
Explorers, welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, Episode 8. And this episode is on rewriting domestication.
We're rewriting it? What does that mean?
It took me a while to figure that out.
As with most episode planning, we start with this very robust topic that has five or more.
I was going to say five to six minimum.
Inside of it. We started with one idea and Karen and I had a conversation and whittled it down to rewriting domestication.
Domestication meaning societal constraints or confinements, reframing or picturing it a different way or opening up the perspective so that we can fully see ourselves and others in their wholeness.
Yes, it's about wholeness. So often we think we have to fit into society or culture. And by doing that, we really discount our wholeness. Like we are shutting off parts of us.
Because no one can be all that thing.
That
all of those perceptions.
Exhausting.
Oh, I'm tired just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're asking you to consider with us this week. What does domestication mean to you in culture or society as a whole? And how can we challenge that? Because we are all about challenging what people expect of you or tell you that, hey, here's your box.
Like fit perceptions, in. Right?
Yes,
perceptions.
Challenge perceptions.
Because everyone is useful. Everyone serves a purpose. Everyone is part of the whole. We don't want anybody to be in a box or not be them their true selves. We want everybody to bring it.
All of it. Right? All of it. Bring it all.
Yeah, bring it all. Bring it all. It's a beautiful thing because we're not all the same. Do you know what it is? We have labels. Human beings, our brains have come up with these.
They make us comfortable.
Labels make us comfortable. We know what we're dealing with. We can be like, okay, this is this. This equals this. If this person is like this, these are their attributes. This is how they'll behave. This is what I want to see. We prefer labels because we can get our heads around, we can get our minds around them.
Mm.
And it's more comfortable. If you have to be open to 8 billion people being uniquely themselves, it seems a little daunting.
But yes.
It's not. It's not like you're encountering everyone every day. The next time you meet someone or cross paths with someone, open it up and drop all of the expectations.
Mm. It becomes a bit limiting when we decide that people have to look, behave, act a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's really about opening up every situation, every interaction, open your heart and your mind and do away with your expectations. Insert gender role here looks like this or
right.
This. And that's exhausting.
And it's such huge sweeping generalizations that they're not going to be accurate
No. Anyway.
I mean,
as generalizations.
I have hope that things are beginning to open up and shift. We accept everyone for who they are, who they think they are, want to be, need to be, or how they need to express in that moment.
I am not tied to be this person forever, nor do I want to be this
right.
person forever. So as I learn more about myself and other people, those experiences shape who I am. So who I was yesterday is not exactly who I am today. And being okay with the fluidity of the human experience.
We haven't been groomed that way for the last, I don't know, 100 years. It's this or it's this. You're this or you're that.
Yeah.
We love the black and white. We love the extremes and we love the boxes. We love the containers. The idea of fluidity gives you so much more on the spectrum of expression, behavior, dress, and speech. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how gender roles change and evolve.
Can we do away with gender roles? Because those expectations are crushing.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are just human qualities in general. Like, it's not, hey, woman, be soft and pliable and don't be too loud and just seen. Look this way or behave this way. Or, hey, man, take charge. Do the things. I'm a force of nature in and of myself. So I take charge.
Exactly. We all have masculine and feminine. If you want to even change it to binary.
That's another episode. Yes. We will definitely dive into duality.
It's all a spectrum. So, like, people who are uptight about, I am not feminine or I'm not masculine. It's like, you're all of it. Hello.
Because it's all just human.
Women can hunt and men can cry. Okay.
We can do those things. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone suffers when there's boxes, expectations, and constraints. Everyone suffers because no one can truly be who they are and behave and speak all the things. We cannot express who we fully are. And that, as we said, it's ever evolving. But I definitely think that men have suffered a silent suffering.
Because men don't cry. Men don't share their feelings or their emotions.
Men can't have emotions.
What emotions? Put that away in that box and just be strong. How many times in generations past have parents said that men don't cry?
Oh my gosh.
Or,
oh my gosh.
Stop crying.
I don't know that I ever saw my father cry.
Oh.
Mm. I certainly didn't see my grandfather cry.
They didn't have time for crying, actually. They were building, helping to build a country.
True. But I just...
But they had those... They had to have had experiences, those things that hurt them.
And how isolating it is if you experience something and you feel emotion about something and you can't share it with anyone.
You just got to put it in the box.
You got to suppress it. It's a form of suppression to tell someone they can't feel their feelings. And that's not necessarily a gender thing. A lot of it is
no one's
sort of
uncomfortable with those giant, big emotions. Like, no, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah. Like, no, I think I'm going to give myself a minute to feel this.
This feeling is very big and it's very important. We've said before in episodes, your feelings are not right or wrong.
They are temporary visitors, part of your experience.
Oh, that made me angry. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to lash out in anger.
You can notice it.
Or dig a little deeper, like, not actually angry. That just hurt my feelings. And my defense mechanism.
And my defense mechanism came out as anger. I've spoken to many men over the last few years that have said it's so hard for a man to have a group of men friends to share feelings with, or to even have more than one really close friend. I have several different tribes of women that I can turn to and lean on, and it's such a beautiful thing. And there's part of our population that doesn't have that or feels like they can't, that it's not allowed. That makes me sad.
Very sad. So as we talk about rewriting domestication and we speak a little bit about gender roles, it leads me to gender bias. So if you're not familiar with the term, it's the systemic and often unconscious ways gender influences how people are treated, perceived, and evaluated. That in and of itself feels closed off.
Super
like it's
judgy.
Not open.
It feels super judgy.
Why are we doing this? Why are we? We don't know enough information about this person to put them in this box.
And it's not our purvey. It is not our job.
It's not my business.
It's not our business.
It's not my business.
It's not our. Yeah. Your business is you. Your business is not how so and so is being perceived.
And the dangerous thing with gender stereotypes and gender bias is the discrimination and often unequal treatment or mistreatment of people based on that idea of what this person should or should not be doing.
If I had my way, the word should would be out of the English language. It would just be gone, banned forever, from the kingdom forever.
Exploring gender bias, we are limiting ourselves because we're overlooking
or undervaluing the contributions of people who do not fit into those roles and norms.
Why does that job have to be that gender? What makes that person more or less capable than anyone else? It's not gender, it's experience, it's skill. Yeah,
it's experience more than anything.
Yeah, like it doesn't make sense.
Experience. But if we as a society are saying that people can only do or are traditionally this thing, then you might have the best foreman in a woman, but she wouldn't have the experience. The unconscious bias of whoever is hiring or creating that role wouldn't even think to consider her.
Not even part of the peripheral vision.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Yeah.
That's so scary.
It's so closed. We on autopilot. We just doing it. That's what you're supposed to do.
The next generation has a bit more freedom because they've looked at their parents, their grandparents' history. They understand, like, that doesn't feel good. And they're okay saying that doesn't feel good, using their voice in that way to speak up for people who are marginalized based on gender norms.
Yes, they're more willing to be open and to explore what that means to them and what they're willing and not willing to accept.
We may be more open to things than our parents were, and they are probably more open to things than their parents were. So right. It's a general progression, but it's a pivotal time. At this moment in history, you are a person, whole and beautiful and complete in and of yourself, whatever that looks like.
Right. There are these expectations, and you have to declare who you are or what gender you are. Why? Why do we have to do
what
that?
What does that matter? How does that change who I am and how I show up?
Exactly. We're talking about human beings.
Period.
And their vision of themselves, who they are and how they express. Who are we to tell someone else how they should be, how they need to be, so that we're comfortable?
And also, when you research or study history, those things have shifted over time.
Mm. Yeah. And it's going to keep shifting.
Right. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Like 100 years ago, women who held certain jobs were anomalies. It was like, how can that be? Such groundbreaking. It's like, we're just people with different experiences and skills. All right, our body parts present differently. But the bottom line is, we're just here all trying to find a sense of contribution and community, purpose and passion, and enjoy the things that bring us joy. I don't know that anything else much matters.
This echoes back to our feelings that joy is a birthright. Joy is why we are here, and joy is rooted in love.
Oh, hold on. That preach, my friend, my sister. That is so true. And I just wanted to be like,
Amen.
Like, we are here to experience joy on our journey, and joy is rooted in love. I just had to take a moment with that.
That's a quotable quotiness.
That's quotable quotiness right there.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Why is it important as an explorer to dive into the unconscious ways that gender roles, norms, stereotypes, like, why would that be important for us to do? For me, it's important because you allow people to show up as their true, authentic selves without expectation. I don't expect you to respond a certain way, look a certain way, behave a certain way. I'm just letting you be you.
And if we're not aware that these things are insidiously a part of our experience and our history, if we're not aware, it can be sneaky. We all catch ourselves at some point having some bias, that level of awareness. If we don't have that, if we don't have it about ourselves, it's probably going to be difficult to have it for others.
There was an aha moment for me in something you just said. So dismantling gender roles involves recognizing that gender in and of itself is a social construct, and that individuals should be free to express themselves in ways that align with their unique identities rather than being restricted.
Yes. And because, you know what? It's not about you.
Mm-mm.
Their expression is not about you. They're not out to hurt you or make you uncomfortable. They're just trying to be,
They were uniquely and beautifully created to be.
And no apology necessary. No, thank you. Mm-mm. I'm not going to apologize.
This is me. Yes.
And if everyone could wake up every day and be like, today I shall live from a place of love, we wouldn't have any of these issues.
No.
We wouldn't have assumptions. We wouldn't have stereotypes. We wouldn't have the gender bias. We wouldn't have expectations. We wouldn't have the social constructs. I understand that certain social constructs help organize, yes, maybe, yes, our society. I get that. But we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful and very aware.
And then remembering how someone shows up in the world isn't your business.
Not your business.
You shouldn't be able to control that.
No. And if it makes you uncomfortable, that's a you problem. Mm-hmm.
Maybe dig into that. Why does that make you uncomfortable? Oh, there's an unconscious bias there.
Yeah.
Let me break that down. Let me rewrite that.
Mm-hmm.
Like assessing what either is systemic and unconscious biases or your reactions to certain things. Assessing those, and if not out of love, rewriting it.
And then if not out of love, ditch it. Mm-hmm. Rewrite it. Mm-hmm. Do away with it. You don't need it. Oh my God, I'm about to quote the Beatles. All we need is love. That's all we need.
Making steps in that direction, like one day at a time, one experience at a time. Like it can't stay the same. Like that is fundamentally impossible.
The big picture has to shift because the little pixels are shifting. These are all the same parts. It's just how we look at it. Mm-hmm. Can we look through a different lens? The lens of love.
So Karen, before we started recording, you said you fell down a research rabbit hole. Goodness. Anything speaking to rewriting domestication?
Yeah. The big main concept that I uncovered was talking about human domestication and how it started happening pre-language. There was facial expression, body expression, and movement. And once we started connecting language sounds with meaning, we then wanted everybody to use that. So language, the inception of language, sort of created this paradigm of we have to all have the same language. We all have to be the same. We all have to be on the same page so that I can communicate this idea to you.
Of course, what I get out of all of that is that I don't speak everything that comes into my mind. My face will still say the thing because that is historically the way in which we express whatever. It's my face. It's human history. I can't control it.
Facial expression and body language is so real and so apparent if you're hooked into it, because what someone's saying is not necessarily what's being transmitted for real. Like the other modes, the way we express and send energy out is not just with our words.
The spoken word is a fraction of the message.
But when we started using language to create significance of certain aspects or
this
certain
is the
things.
The value assigned to this thing.
Right. Yeah. Let's be mindful. Let's be aware. Big pool of love. That's what I want to create. A giant pool of love.
Everyone jump into Karen's love
that
pool.
Feels
that
like
sounds
my mission.
Very different in my head. I almost went too far. Wait, no, we're not going to jump into Karen's love pool.
Oh, that's
create your own love
hilarious.
Pool.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. What's up?
Is it time?
We going to dance?
I'm feeling a little wiggly and wanting to get some energy out.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to introduce? This was such a good call. Oh, and I love this song so
Today's
much.
Today's song is You Gotta Be by Desiree. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify. That lovely song from the late 1900s told us.
Is that when it came out? Oh, my Lord.
The late 1900s.
Goodness.
All I know is love will save the day.
All I really know is love will save the day. I love that phrase so much. I got the biggest smile on my face when I heard her sing that again. Yes, Desiree. Yes.
Yes. All I know.
Oh, man.
So, okay. Explorers, today's QOTD question of the day. So, Karen.
Yes.
What is an assumption or stereotype about gender that influenced the way you thought or acted? if necessary, tell us what the situation was.
I'm going to reflect on how those perceptions and assumptions affected my personal life.
Mm, okay, tell us more.
So as a child, I was definitely raised with a perception that there were certain things that a girl or a woman could do for a career. There were certain expectations. You got to get married. You got to have kids.
In this order, a like, good girl would do these things.
Exactly. All of the people pleasing and the not speaking up. Like that was, all of that was like women are too emotional. I could just list all of the ways that impacted my life. I didn't understand what choices I really had. Like for even going off to college.
Or even the fact that you had choices.
There was, like that was the avenue. Mm-hmm. That was the road. I got on the train and get on that train.
In order to fulfill the good girl, perfect woman ideal, I got to go off to college, meet my husband. We date a little bit. We get married. We have some kids. And then we live happily ever after.
That 100% impacted what I thought I could do and the narrow sort of avenue of
this
of
is
choices.
Your lane as a woman.
Yeah.
Please keep all limbs inside the vehicle. Right.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Yes.
Keep all of your limbs inside the car.
Yes.
Of the small, the narrow lane that you can live in.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, 100%. And how about you,
yet
my dear?
Again, we don't discuss the QOTD answers.
You do not have a what?
Before the episodes, you guys. And every single time I am floored by the overlap of how we answer this question.
Oh,
so my assumption or stereotype about gender really heightened when I became a girl mom.
Okay.
When I birthed daughters into this world, I was almost anti-pink. The color pink, because pink is assigned to women and girls, and it's,
right, and it's
pretty
soft,
and frilly and da-da-da-da, like all of those things. I was anti-pink. But at the same time, in the girl section, it's basically pink washed.
There's not many other choices.
So, yes. But yeah, becoming a girl mom, I was like, oh yeah, I'm anti-pink. And so much so, even in the toys I purchased for them, like those, not the little Legos, choking hazard guys, not the little ones, the big Mega Blocks or Duplo or whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one for girls is like pink and purple. I got my kids the fire truck one.
Yeah,
the one for the boys.
Like primary colors. Is there, why is that for boys? Why is blue and green
red for
boys? No,
the red fire truck is the one that I'm going to get them to play with because that had the broadest rainbow of colors. I was very anti-pink because I didn't want them to associate their feminine side with this color.
Mm.
You want orange, you want green, you want blue, you want yellow, whatever. It's, colors in and of themselves are neutral.
But not one of
yellow is
gender.
Not coming up to you and being like, I am yellow and I'm feminine. No, no. Colors are not doing that. We're doing that to colors.
Y'all, if colors are talking to you,
that's a different thing and that's related to brain stuff. But they're not by and large doing that to most of us. So it was divorcing the color pink from their feminine identity and not saying like you can only play with dolls and you can only play with a kitchen set. You want a tool set? I don't even know if you want it, but you're gonna get it.
Mm. What do you think about them being born, about you becoming a mother, the sort of the guides, the protector of these two girls that you birthed? What was it that you became acutely aware of that you wanted?
It's bigger
didn't
than
want
me
for them.
It's bigger than me.
Mm.
I have been trusted with these souls and I have to do everything within my power to protect them.
Mm. And prepare them.
I should have prepared the world for them.
Well, yes, for sure. We see that now.
Yes, hindsight.
In hindsight.
I should have been like, hey guys, here's the thing that I helped grow up. Get ready.
Yeah. But you made a decision. You made an actual decision to present them with all opportunities and all ranges and all possibilities,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like that was a conscious choice.
That was absolutely a choice. And because looking back beyond to my early life, like you said, it was this is the lane. And then you grow up and you live a little bit and you're like,
I don't want to be in that lane.
I don't want to be in that lane. Mm-hmm. But what about that lane? That lane looks pretty cool. Can I try? Oh, I can't. Why? Mm. Why not? Why not?
Why not?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Girls, birthing girls is what I ask for. I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. I got it. Can please, girl, yay. And then we do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Repeat.
And it's like, oh, I'm going to pour into them all of the messages that I've learned that are positive, reaffirming, and limitless.
Limitless. Yeah. All of the options, all of the choices, all of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Not defined or delineated by their gender or genitalia.
Mm, please. Oh, that's not, that's a whole thing, because it was definitely, you will use the proper anatomical terms for these things.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Which is quite entertaining when you have a preschooler, because they love saying that.
It's, oh, like, yeah. I remember when my son learned the word vagina. It was priceless. It was a great time.
My favorite part is watching people who were uncomfortable with the actual names.
Oh, yeah.
Like my child said something about their vulva and they're like, you mean your cookie? No, she said what she meant.
Yeah. It's the, I didn't bake anything, so I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm talking about my vulva.
Yeah.
Oh, and
watching adults respond and react to that. That was also like,
oh, yeah.
Are you uncomfortable?
Like that shaking it up funny. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
shake
good.
It up a little bit.
Yeah. Like, this is good for you. Trust mm-hmm. me. This is good for you. I'm mm-hmm. doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor to get shaken up a little bit here.
Indeed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but again, I love how we don't discuss this and there's always like, and Kara's answer and Tara's answer, and they are very similar.
Aligned and similar, yeah. And we were raised in very different environments.
You were in the
different
north,
regions of the country.
I was in the south. Yep. I was in the country. You were more urban.
Yeah.
So,
like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
These experiences.
The human denominator.
Are universal.
Yeah. It's the human factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
So, explorers, we would love to hear how an assumption or stereotype about gender has influenced the way you thought or acted.
Mm.
Let us know in the comments and wherever you find this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I can't wait to read those.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first step to changing these things is to, as we said, become aware, to think about it, to be introspective, to wonder, and then to challenge it.
Like, and for some of us, that is researching what are examples of gender bias.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all might have strong feelings about colors, too. And
that's okay. But we live the rainbow.
Yes. So. Agreed.
Yep. Yeah. I love it.
All right. So I found a quote that best summarizes this journey we've gone on today in rewriting domestication, and it is from Audre Lorde.
Oh my. I almost said my lord. My Audre Lorde. I love her so much. Love her so much. Go ahead.
So, explorers, it's not the differences that divide us. It's our incapacity to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be different, y'all. We are not supposed to be the same, everyone looking, acting, and behaving the certain way. Because at the end of the day, there are many expressions of love, which is what we are.
Mm. And it is impossible. Impossible.
So y'all might as well go ahead and give up trying now.
So just be you. Just live and be yourself. And come from a place of love in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Loris. That's a good stopping point for today's episode on rewriting domestication. Remember, go out today and celebrate those differences.
I love it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take good care. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.